Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? Can we give God a great big hand today? So excited to be with you. Wow. Here we are, fresh start. Listen, if you're really into fresh starts, you're going to love the Bible because the Bible is full of stories from literally the beginning until the end of people who needed a fresh start with God, people who needed a redo, people who needed a reboot. Come on, how many of you are thankful for a fresh start with God? Come on, I am, myself. I'm so thankful for that and so thankful for all God does. And so really today is just really all about what does it mean to get a fresh start with God. Just recently, my wife Natalie and I, we had the opportunity to attend a high school musical. Now, it was none in this area that we're in right now. It was across town, and so we were all set to go to the musical, and to be honest, we didn't have high hopes. Now, two reasons. One is somebody who was communicating to us about this specific high school and the musical, they did not build it up very well at all. Okay, they were like brutally honest about how it was going to go down. And so then previous experience with high school musicals, and so we had a preconceived idea about this musical. And so we went, and we said, you know, we're just going to give it a shot. And so let's just go. Let's see what happens. And so we went, and I got my big bag of Starburst jelly beans full of red dye and yellow dye. And so we went, and we sat there, and we were watching. And then something happened halfway through the first act, halfway through the first part. I looked at my wife, Natalie, and I said, this isn't that bad. And then it went on, and it was like, you know, it was halftime. I call it halftime. Sophisticated people call it intermission. And at halftime, I looked and I said, man, this is really pretty good. And then we stayed for the whole thing. It was really super good. And we had a real preconceived idea of what was supposed to happen there. Now, the same thing happens with many of us. We have a preconceived idea of who God is. We've heard about him through other people. We've seen it maybe for ourselves. Maybe we've been disillusioned or maybe like questioning what we've heard. And we get this idea in our mind, this is what it's supposed to be like. And then we actually go to church and we meet some Christians. And don't you hate it when people mess up your preconceived ideas? Come on, you're expecting certain things and it doesn't happen and it blows your mind. And that's the same way with God, in a fresh start with God. And so many people get disillusioned with who Jesus is and who God is, or we make up ideas in our mind with who he is, but we could use a fresh start. Am I in the right place today? Come on. We need a fresh start with God. We need one. As many of you are saying, well, I know who God is. I've been around. I know this whole deal. Well, you know what? We still need a fresh start with God. Amen. We need to rethink and we need to relook at him in a fresh, fresh way here because we all have these things. Now, when it comes to fresh start with God, I want to let you know, there's certain smells that have a fresh start. How many of y'all like the smell of lemon? Yeah, pine salt. You know somebody cleaned. Come on. April, fresh downy. Yeah. Better than the alternatives, right? Come on. Yeah. Now, the smell of bleach, that just means you hiding something. Come on, somebody. You're just hiding something. That's all there is. Now, there's one other fresh smell. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's one certain smell that's so fresh. It's garlic. Come on, don't you know, you walk into somebody's house and there's a smell of garlic and it's like, you want to eat there. Come on. Come on, I'm just telling you, they should make, I'm saying for women, I'm just telling you, for women, they should make a garlic perfume. A little bit behind you, I'm telling you, your man would appreciate that. Come on, somebody. Moving right along. Come on, here we go. So here's the big idea today. I'm going to give you a big idea. And people always ask, like, what's the big idea, Pastor? What is a big idea? A big idea is something that you can remember. It's something that you can remember. So when somebody says, what did you do on Sunday? He says, oh, yeah, I went to church. And they said, well, what did you learn? Well, at least you have a big idea to remember. Come on, you have something you can remember here. And so the big idea for today is really, really simple. A fresh start with God embraces beginning a relationship with God and becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus. So a fresh start will always have these two things. So when somebody asks you tomorrow, what did you learn at church or what was it about? It was like a fresh start with God embraces beginning and becoming. That's the two concepts here that we see about a fresh start with God. So I'm going to start today, and I'm going to read probably about four verses in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians was a book written by the Apostle Paul to people who were in Corinth, which is modern-day Greece, okay? And so if you're wondering, like, I'm going to read these verses to you, maybe later today, you're going to have a hankering for a gyro. Now you know why here, okay? You're going to remember subconsciously it got planted in there, okay? And if it wasn't subconsciously right now, you're thinking of a gyro right now. You got that in your head right now. There it is. And so he's writing to these people in modern day Greece here, and he's writing a letter. Corinth was a messed up place. They were struggling with who God was. They were struggling with authority in the church. They were struggling with sin. They were struggling with how to relate to one another. They were just struggle after struggle after struggle. And so here we find, right in the middle of the second letter that we have recorded that the Apostle Paul wrote to these Christians in Corinth, this is what he says. Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they're going to live for God. Yeah, who died and was raised for them. This is such a cool verse here. Come on. He's talking about here. He says, Christ's love controls us. That means it holds us together. It grips us tightly. So not my love for him, but his love for me controls me. It grips me tightly. It won't let me go and leaves me no options, but I just want to live for him. And because we believe, that means we've judged, we've determined, we've decided that what Jesus Christ did on the cross, he was dead, buried, rose again, and now he's in heaven preparing a place for us. See, because we believe that, now we have his love working in our life, and it's an adventure to be a follower of Jesus Christ. See, when you decide this, when you determine this, when you rightly judge this and you believe and you transfer your trust, something great happens. It's an adventure. As a matter of fact, when you begin a relationship with God, okay, then you spend the rest of your life figuring out what just happened at that moment. At times it's an adventure, and at times it's a mystery. It's just like marriage. You get married, you know, you have a big celebration, a big party, and then you spend the rest of your lives figuring out what you just did. Is anybody married here today? Am I right? You figure the rest of your life, I'm going to figure out what just happened. And at times it's adventure, and at times it's just plain old mystery. Come on. Okay, we're going to leave that for a different day here. But so he's saying here, it starts with love here. And then the next verse, 16, so we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we now know him and what it means to belong to Christ, to become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. See, what the Apostle Paul is saying, when Jesus Christ, when you begin this relationship, you see others differently. You begin to see people different. And you begin to see God different because you're no longer seeing from a natural human point of view. Now we're seeing from a spiritual point of view. Why? Because we began a new life with him. This is exciting. We're beginning. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And when people, when we're celebrating water baptism today, and people are, this is a symbol. These verses are a symbol. When people go into the water, the water's just like Jesus going into the tomb. They go under the water, symbolizing death with Jesus. And when they come back up, It's they're beginning a new life. And not only that, the next couple verses here in 18 and 19 say that it's a celebration of reconciling to God. And now God gives us a purpose in helping other people reconcile. Reconcile literally means bringing to a zero balance. Aren't you happy that Jesus brought us to a zero balance? Because I owed a debt I could never pay. And I couldn't do it. But Jesus, because of what he did on the cross, in dead, buried, rose again, now zeroed the balance. That's called reconciliation. Now, how many of y'all ever reconcile your bank account? But three people. Three, come on. How many of y'all reconcile? Like, how many of y'all, it's painful, but you do it? Yeah, you don't like doing it. I don't like doing it either. And sometimes reconciliation takes some time. Sometimes it's a process. Like, when Natalie and I got married, I never reconciled our account. As a matter of fact, I went about 7 years. And it's back when I was single and I had money. And we got married, I just thought, I'm going to start over. And my wife, she's in the accounting department. She likes accounting. And she says, no, we're going to go back and we're going to go through every statement and we're going to bring it to a zero balance. I could think of a better way to spend the first 3 months of marriage. But we did it. We brought everything to a zero balance. See, this is what God does with us. When we begin a relationship with him, we have stuff in our past that needs to be reconciled and brought to a zero balance. And so we learn through the process of growth with Jesus. We begin this relationship, but then we go back and we reconcile our past, all the stuff we've done, all the stuff that was done to us and that we've done, and he reconciles us and brings us to a zero balance because of what Jesus Christ has done. That's beginning a relationship and becoming a follower of Jesus. Now, I'm going to go right into here, and I want to give you an example from the Word of God, the Bible, in one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, we find a story about a man named Peter. Now, Peter was very enthusiastic. He was very self-willed. He was very boastful, and he put his foot in his mouth often. How many of y'all could already relate to Peter? It's like, wow, there's somebody like me in the Bible. Yeah. And he was an ordinary guy, an ordinary everyday guy, blue-collar worker, just minding his own business here. Now, we're going to pick up a story in Luke chapter 5. But earlier in the gospel, it talks a little bit about Peter. Now, this is Peter's third encounter with Jesus. His first encounter was when Andrew introduced him to Jesus. And Jesus says, you're no longer Cephas, you're now Peter. And he changes his name. Now, Peter, there's nothing written about that. It was like kind of like, oh, okay. Like, first of all, like when it'd be like, face it, if you were I with Jesus and he said, this is what your name was and this is what your name is now, wouldn't you say, like, this Jesus is a little too pushy? What's he mean by that? Let me tell you this. God sees something in you. God sees something deep inside of each and every one of us. Before we even meet him and we begin a relationship, he sees something in us. And he's already at work. We just don't realize it until after we begin that relationship. We go, oh, this is that. Then next we see him, we see that Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. She's sick, and he heals his mother-in-law. And he was, I don't know what he thought there. The Bible doesn't record it. But I would think, like, yeah, I'm glad she got healed. I hope she gets out of bed and cooks something. Come on, somebody. Does anybody else think these things? I don't know. Like, yeah. But come on, like, but what I'm trying to say is there's this natural stuff that's happening here. And so he's trying to figure out, who's this Jesus? He's not asking for a fresh start. He doesn't need a fresh start. But there's stuff that's happening in his life that goes through here. So let's pick it up in verse 1. So one day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, a great crowd's pressed into him to listen to the word of God. Jesus is teaching. There's all these people around, okay? And he's teaching them. And so Jesus looks over. He says, oh, there's two empty boats right here. Look at this. There's two empty boats here. And at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them, and they were washing their nets because they were out all night fishing. And they were coming back. They were mending the nets, cleaning them, getting them ready for the next night of fishing here. And so verse 3, I just love this. Jesus went and stepped into one of the boats. Have you ever noticed Jesus doesn't ask permission all the time to do stuff? He's not afraid to step on your toes or step in your boat. It don't matter. But he did. He just steps in. He steps in right there, and he goes to Simon. He says, "Hey, can you push me out a little further? I want to teach here. I want to do something here." So he sat in the boat and he taught the crowds from there. And can you imagine Peter? He's just like, he's washing his nets. He's like, he changes my name, and now he heals my mother-in-law, and now this pushy guy just tells me, Jesus tells me, to push the boat out a little further. Does he realize I'm probably going to have to go get the boat and pull it back in? See, he can you imagine? Like, he's feeling like, I wonder what's going on here. I don't know. He just this, but this is what's happening in the story here. What I see here is this: is that we're going to see in these next verse is this. Jesus, he sees, he cares, and he knows. And many people in the room right now, you're wondering, does Jesus see? Does he care? Does he know? And I want to tell you, he does. It may not feel like it. It may not, you may not like sense it right now, but he does. He sees where you are. He knows what you're going through, and he cares. Because he was willing to get in the boat of this guy named Simon Peter. And he was willing to just step in this moment here. And he saw what was going on. He knew, and he cared. How do I know that? In verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out to where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." Okay? Simon Peter was a fisherman, and he didn't catch anything here. And Master Simon replied, "We worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so," if you say so, "I'll let the nets down again." Now let's just pause right here. Jesus, again, Peter's like, "Hey, Rabbi Carpenter, I'm a fisherman. Okay, you stick to carpentry, I'll do the fish thing. I know what's best." But isn't it interesting that Jesus sends him right back into the deep, which represents a place he just failed. Many people in this room right now, you have failure going on in your life, maybe in your marriage, with your kids, struggling maybe in caring for an adult parent, or struggling with your parents here financially, job, school, you're struggling. And what Jesus wants to do with the fresh start, he's not just going to remove you from that situation. He's going to send you right back to the place that you might feel like a failure. But look what he's going to do next. See, our mind is like, God, if you would just change my situation, it would be okay. Come on, have you ever prayed that? God, if you would just change my workplace, I would like working there. Has anybody ever thought that? Come on, if you would just change my spouse, marriage would get good. Right? Like, yeah. But that's not what God does. He said, "I want to take you back to the place that represents something that you may feel like a failure, but I'm going to teach you something here." God's about to zero up the balance here. He's about to zero up what's going on, because this is what kind of God he is. He's a God of the restart. He's a God of the refresh. He's the God of the second chances. That's what the Word of God does, and that's what we see right here. Go back to the deep. And what Jesus is saying to us today is, will you trust me? Will you trust me with the place that you feel like a failure, with the place that maybe things aren't working? Will you trust me, and will you just take a simple step of faith in obedience? Just one simple step of obedience. "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll go." Look at verse 6. "And this time, their nets were so full, they were so full of fish that they began to tear." What? He listened to the rabbi carpenter tell him what to do in catching fish. He obeyed, in the relationship of trust, because it's a trust relationship with God that we have. And all of a sudden, they're catching fish. And they shouted to their partners. They said, hey, we need some help. And then they brought another boat. Pretty soon, both boats were full of fish. See, they were just about a couple hours before this, ready to go home with no money, no fish. They didn't make any money after they worked a full shift. How would you like that? Work a full shift and you ain't got nothing. And that's how we feel with God sometimes. We're working and working and working. We feel like I ain't got nothing. But God says, if you obey me and do a simple point of trust, a simple trust, look what I will do. So much so that a fresh start with God starts with a simple act of obedience based on who Jesus is. But then what he also does is you got to partner up. You need partners. You have somebody to share with, somebody to partake with. That's what we get in church. We get partners to share what God's doing in our life. That's what we get, somebody to share, somebody to work with, somebody to be around us, to share in all the good things God's doing. God's a good God. Unfortunately, many people have a preconceived idea. He's like this taskmaster up in the sky just waiting for us to mess up. That's not God. God, he's pulling for us. He wants us to be effective in our everyday life. And he wants us to take a simple act of obedience and begin this relationship of trust. And then he wants to help us be effective in every aspect of our life. Every aspect of my life, he can bring effectiveness to. I'm going to give you this great news about Jesus. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. I thought you'd get excited about that. I thought you'd be really happy. I thought, man, I'm going to give you this, and you're going to be really impressed with that. And it's like, no, come on, let's give God a great big hand. It's not a Sunday morning thing. Come on, somebody. Yeah, it's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's an everyday thing. And how do we know we've begun a relationship? Because we're no longer living for ourselves. That's what we see here. See, community isn't something that God wants us to go and affect. What are you doing in the community? Community is something God wants to create out of us, so therefore our community can become growing and affect the communities around us. See, affecting communities only happens when you have true community, true partners. That's what we have in Jesus, and that's what he wants for us here. But something begins to happen in him. See, Peter could have stopped and said, hey, thanks for that name change thing. Really don't understand it, but thank you, Jesus. Hey, Jesus, thank you for healing my mother-in-law. That's cool. Hey, Jesus, so glad you used my boat. That's cool. Oh, Jesus, so glad you caught some fish. That's cool. But he presses on. He moves forward. See, there's this growth that we happen here. And he sends us back here. And so verse 8, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught. Even Peter, Jesus doesn't chastise Peter for being a bad fisherman. He doesn't say, you're a bad fisherman. You ought to consider sales. You ought to consider, there's a new shop opening up down the street. You ought to go apply there. You're a disaster. No, he helps him become effective. In Peter's natural response to beginning this trust relationship, seeing like, oh, something, he no longer seeing Jesus with a human point of view. He's seen it from a spiritual point of view. He's seen others no longer from a human point of view. He's seen it from a spiritual point of view. And he falls on his knees and he confesses, I'm a sinner. Nobody told him he was a sinner. He wasn't asking for a fresh start. He wasn't even asking. Boy, I'm wondering when I can kneel down and pray, tell everybody I'm a sinner. He didn't wake up that morning and say, boy, I think today might be my day. No, he didn't do that at all. But it naturally happened when Jesus stepped into his life. He got himself a fresh start with God and wasn't even asking for it. And there's people here today, God has been setting you up. Just like all the people that are getting baptized, God was setting them up even before today, setting them up before they began a relationship with God. He was setting them up long before. And it's just like one day it was like, oh, I get it. I get it. I see what God's doing. I understand now. I'm beginning this relationship, this trust relationship. And Jesus begins to exchange Peter's past for a great future. Why? Because of the love of God. He didn't say, hey, Peter, get your hair cut. Hey, Peter, you got some tattoos that need to be reversed. He didn't say, stop cussing. He didn't say, stop this. He didn't say, stop that. No, he demonstrated love because that's what kind of God he is. He demonstrates love to us, and he demonstrates it in tangible ways here, and he's moving into this relationship of love and trust. As I move into the next couple verses, there are people here right now, if you are baptizing somebody or going to be water baptized, you can grab your stuff and make your way to your changing rooms. So go ahead. There's a lot of people. Go ahead out, and there's a lot of people moving here. Grab all your stuff. Grab your towel. There it is. Grab. Oh, my. Y'all leave. Y'all coming back, right? I'm just making sure. Y'all coming back, right? Come on. Give them a big hand. Come on. We're about to have a big celebration here today because we like to celebrate really cool stuff here. And so So as they go, and they're going to get ready, and then they'll make their way back in a few minutes here. And are you seeing the fresh start today? Are you seeing it? You see, but somehow sometimes we don't realize what we need. We don't. But when something's new, you want to take care of it. Just recently, we were blessed. I was able to get a newer car. And it has that new car smell. And when it runs out of that new car smell, I went out and I bought cleaning stuff that smells like a new car. And just recently, I was going out. It was one of the nicer days about 2 weeks ago, real, real warm. And I was going out to play tennis. And my wife said, what car are you taking? And I said, I'm taking yours. And she says, why are you taking mine? And I said, well, because when I get back in the car after smelling a certain way, she goes, you don't want your car to smell like that. And I says, no, I want to keep it new. And she said, thanks so much. I appreciate it. You know, I just wanted to bless her with that. That's all. You know, it's come on, you know. So Peter has this moment with God here, and he's moving forward here, and In verse 10, you see, what happens with the new car is this. It becomes an old car. Yeah, just have them come on in and sit down. It'll be a lot easier. Yeah. Come over here and sit in the front. Come over. It's good. We like you. We like kids here. Don't we like kids here? Do you like kids here? Come on through. You see, it's at some point the new car becomes the old car, and we treat it like normal. We treat it like it's just that car. That's what happens with our relationship with God sometimes. It just becomes, oh yeah, that's God. Oh yeah, that's him. In verse 10, his partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. The red letters here, those are Jesus' words. The red letters, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. See, the simple trust of beginning, simple trust, got some partners to share in what God's doing. He knelt down and said, I'm a sinful man. Are you seeing beginning? And now he said, and Jesus says, I'm going to make you into something. I'm going to make you into a follower. And there's people in the room right now, you're like right on that like beginning and starting to become a follower. starting to, do you know what we do as followers? We just simply trust what Jesus says on a regular basis. And we do whatever he asked. And we keep the whole partner thing. We have partners in our life. And then we just keep listening to him. We grow together. At times in its adventure, at times it's a mystery. That's what this is. See, beginning a relationship with God is not the finish line, it's the starting line. There's a quote, "The two most important days of your life, the day you were born and the day you find out why." There's the day you were born, but there's the day you find out why you were born. I'm so glad when I began a relationship with God, I discovered my why I'm here on this planet. I discovered my purpose. I discovered why God put me on this planet. And it was such a joy. It was such a joy to discover my purpose. They're doing really good. My purpose is to please God and serve him. That's my purpose. And now he gives me something to do. He gives us mission trips to take. He restores our finances, our workplaces, our marriages. He does all that. Isn't he a good God like that? Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person in the room right now, Lord. And God, I thank you, Father, God, for every single person, Lord. Lord God, there's a great, great group of people here, and some of them are contemplating what, and they're challenged in what they believe about who you are, Jesus. And they're considering beginning this relationship, and there's other people here, God, may they get a fresh start with you and a fresh start with who you are. Lord Jesus. And so God, right now I'm praying for the people in the room right now that never had a date or a time where they confessed their sins to Jesus and said, "Jesus, I'm a sinner, redeem my life. Jesus, be the forgiver of my past and the leader to my future." Lord God, I pray over every person right now sitting right where they are, Lord God. And they're contemplating this decision right now. Your love is pulling on their hearts, but they're not sure which way to go, Lord. So, God, I ask you, Father, for a divine moment, Lord God, a divine moment, God. In which they begin this awesome adventure with you. So if you're here today, and right now in this moment, just this is you and God, this is you and God. If today you would like today to be your day that you begin a relationship with God, a relationship, not a rules and regulations, but a relationship. This personal time with you and God, what I want you to do, if you want Jesus Christ to be the forgiver of your past, for him to zero up the balance and help you step into your future, I just want you just right where you are, just simply raise your hand, just right now, just raise your hand. Say, "Man, that's me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you." This is just between you and God, right? Lord Jesus. Lord God, I thank you, Father, for every hand that's up right now, Lord God. I pray that today is going to be their day of new beginnings. I pray, Lord God, as they confess just to you in their own way, that they have fallen short, Lord God. Lord God, help them learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ in a real and a precious way. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.